We're getting all situated here. See you, Bob Thomas, the man, the myth, the legend, walking out the door right now. I never know what Bob's doing when he leaves. He just, you know, it's like a man of mystery. He's like Austin Powers or James Bond. He could be an older James Bond right there.
He could be.
He could be. We're out here at Green Meadow Wine and Spirits. We're here all the time during the fall and into December, Christmas time as well. A lot of fun stuff going on now, and we welcome in the other coolest person here with a name like Eric. I don't know how you couldn't be.
Yeah, awesome. It's easy. It's just like we were
born that way. It's not our fault. Yeah, you know, strong name.
What'd you think of the ball game on Saturday?
There wasn't a lack of excitement. That's for sure.
Yeah. It was wide open. I got there at 2:30-ish. Walk into the stage to do our radio show, and it was insane.
Yeah, it was. That was one of the best pregame. I mean, if you could feel it, it was going to be a big night.
Oh, you got the light show, Checker kneeling. Yeah, the deck was set. We were all in.
Yep.
And we came up a little bit short.
Cramps, dude.
They need to stop. You need to stop selling to the guys because obviously when they're in town, they're coming over
we
here.
We have this stuff.
No,
right here.
We have Morning Recovery. Yeah. We have Revitalite. We have Biolite. We know how to bring people back here at Green Meadow. We got that. We're hydration specialists.
Well, they need to stop going to some podunk place when they come in town. Before
absolutely
the game.
Not, man.
All those cramps. You just feel really bad for them. You know, because I'm glad they survived it.
Somebody said their buses couldn't get out after the game on Saturday because it was too cramped. I did not. I saw that one on Twitter.
I liked that one. That's pretty good.
A little dad joke-ish, but it was true.
Yeah, well, you know, the good thing is we're here win, lose, or draw.
We are for
our customers.
I mentioned it earlier. It is, of course, one-stop shopping for tailgating and home game day parties. If you want to have a good time or if you need to make it a better time because Tennessee's playing down in Tuscaloosa this Saturday, those home parties – might need a little therapy.
Yeah. No, this next week will be the drink menu might be different at some of the tailgates next week. Yeah,
I could see that. I could see that coming.
Yeah, for sure.
It's. I mean, I'm sure there's a correlation too, and not just for home game days, but I'll bet people come in here. We talk about it all the time for home watch parties or away games and stuff
like that. Well, the weather is a big thing, man. We get the first weather change, the first cool morning, and then everybody starts thinking bourbon. They start drinking, you know, a lot of Irish cream, scotches. So definitely
man stuff.
Yeah, it changes a little bit.
They have all the Trulies here that you would that you could ever want, Tyler Ivins, but most people, you know, that drink. I guess I can't make fun of somebody for drinking when I'm not even allowed to do it anymore.
Well, that's probably. At least you recognize that.
I recognize that.
Well, and that's the thing. I went on a Twitter rant on Saturday, and everybody's like, oh, I remember my first beer. I don't drink on game day because it's my job to watch the game. So I don't know if that makes it better or worse.
I would say worse.
But, yeah.
You want to forget the fourth quarter.
I'm on the other side of that. Yeah.
if you want to remember it because we won, then, you know,
That's what sports
whatever.
Are for.
You know, they pay me to watch the game, so I do that. But if people want to have a lot of fun, you guys also, I don't endorse the fall wedding concept, but I know a lot of people like a fall wedding. If you're having a wedding or you're going ahead and planning your company Christmas party, you guys can go ahead and get things set up in bulk in advance and have the right selection for everybody.
Yeah. We're good at working. You know, you tell us how many people you're going to expect and how long you're going to be there. We're really good at helping put the total number package together. So, yeah.
That's awesome, man.
It's what you guys do here.
It is fall, man.
It's fall.
It's hoodie weather.
Are you drinking
all day
pumpkin
long.
Spice over there, Ainge?
Where am
you
I drinking?
You got your pumpkin spice?
No,
latte?
Not yet. I haven't got that yet. I used to drink a Starbucks drink that had like 10 words in it.
He did until I made fun of him.
I was demand so long that I was like, okay, whatever.
Said if your order is past like 5 words, the man card has to be revoked.
Exactly. How many pumps of sugar can you put in it?
Yeah.
And still be a guy?
Well, you know, like for most men, if they're going to drink Starbucks, they would say, I want a large whatever.
Yeah.
And like I know what to call it, you know, like a venti grande, you know.
Yeah. If
tall.
If your order has more than 5 or 6 words in it, just go to Cookout and get a milkshake instead.
Yeah.
They're
open
for breakfast.
Well, you could argue your culture there, Ainge, though.
It is.
You could argue it for that, not for anything else.
That's it.
Eric, you guys are here 7 days a week at Green Meadow Wine and Spirits helping people get set for tailgates, parties,
Halloween.
Whatever.
Halloween's party. Big. Yeah. Halloween on a weekend this year. Uh-oh.
And you're
– look out.
You have almost unanimous 5-star Google reviews as well. People – really like what they give when they come here.
We provide service. That's what we do. We happen to have a store full of products at a great price, but really the service is the ticket.
That's what we see. Yeah. We appreciate
that's
it.
That's what separates
and
you
and
guys
a great staff.
Sure.
I mentioned it earlier. We've been. This is, I think, the fourth year that we've come out here and done shows. You have the same five people working here that have been here since we started doing the shows.
Yeah, we're a team. We're a family. So I think our average is 7, 8, 9 years.
Yeah, that's awesome.
In terms of our employees. So, yeah, that's what it's all about.
Yep.
Well, Eric, we always appreciate you having us out here. Have a great week, and people can come see you hours and more here in Hunter's Crossing.
Yeah, yeah, 9 to 10 through the week and on Saturdays, and then 12 to 6 on Sundays.
Perfect.
So, yeah, thank you guys.
Eric, thanks so much. We'll see you again
soon.
That is Eric from here, Green Meadow Wine and Spirits, where we are here this morning for the Eric Haynes Show. Let's go to the phones at 656-9900. Ralph is up next. Ralph, you're on the EA Show. Good morning.
Hello, fellas. How we doing?
Good, Ralph.
I've got a couple of questions. I only got to watch the second half of the ball game, but to hear you tell it, our running game was pretty much non-existent until the very end. If that be the case, why on God's green earth, when we're in the fourth quarter, do you hand off on 1st and 19 for a 2-yard gain and then followed up with another handoff to put you in a 3rd and 17 situation? That's my first question, that thought process. My second question is, and this is for you, Eric, you've done established that you would prefer Garantano over Harrison Bailey as quarterback at University of Tennessee. With Joe Milton's brilliant move at the end of the game, does Harrison Bailey get this start, or are you starting Joe Milton?
Well, I don't know what they will do. I would definitely 100% after the game like that, I would absolutely not know what I was going to do. I don't think it's as clear and cut as, well, Hooker's hurt, therefore Joe Milton is the starter and gets to play all the snaps. That may be what happens. But I think I would be conflicted. I mean, you see a guy come in off the bench, and he does that, and some of the mistakes he's made, and you immediately fall less in love with how good his arm is and stuff like that, because if you can make good decisions, then you put your team in a chance to win. And I don't know if that's Harrison Bailey or not. I haven't been over there watching practice. I don't know what they think of him. But I definitely – it would be kind of a toss-up for me, even on a day like today, Monday, where you got to pretty much know what you're going to do with it. I would definitely entertain Harrison Bailey more. Problem with Bailey, dude, is he's a sophomore that's had two different coaching staffs, and he's not athletic. So he has to compete against guys that are also able to run, and they're significantly older and have played way more college football. That's not a situation where anybody wins that job. It does not mean he couldn't be an All-American someday.
As for the play calling on the handoffs, I think the situation was this. Ole Miss had dropped everybody. He had – 3 down linemen, 1 linebacker near the line, and another guy that was sort of in coverage. I think they felt with what they had blocking, they could pick up 6, 7, 8 yards and get some of that yardage back based on the alignment that Ole Miss was in. And
I
didn't happen.
That.
You didn't execute that. They didn't execute.
Right,
so
right.
It's a bad play call when you don't execute it. It's a good play call if you do execute and they didn't.
Exactly. It's a good play call because everybody knows when you do a 1st and 20 handoff, you hope to break through for about 10 yards and then get you in a man. But when that one fails and they're already set up to guard a pass and the run don't work, you don't try it again. That's just my opinion. But
well,
anyways,
we appreciate it.
Yeah, Ralph.
Thanks.
I mean, the problem with picking to hand it off at all in that situation, I understand, you know, conceptually everything you guys are saying makes sense. I mean, they're dropping everybody out of there. You got to be able to run the football. You got a tight end out there and 5 linemen. No reason you shouldn't be able to run it. But what they – so that to me is – it's a dummy defense. So, like, they're dropping everybody back and setting them so far back that it looks like all you can do is run. But if you go back and watch it, as soon as the ball snapped, they're all coming forward. So you end up with normal rush ratio – guys dropping, you know, like, it's not like they just said, no matter what's happening, we're dropping 8. They just drop them back there, and then as soon as the ball snapped, they're coming forward aggressively, and the defensive backs are the ones that are kind of flat-footed waiting, you know, for any chance you want to throw in behind. But they baited us twice, and we took the bait both times and couldn't get hats on their linebackers and their nickel coming full speed, coming forward to make the tackle. That's, you know, I don't even know. Like, I probably would have – I probably would have called the same thing, honestly, because at that point in time, you have to trust where the quarterback's going to go with the football. If you do want to make it, throw it, and they're that far back, you have to have some sort of a play fake to get them to actually commit like they did coming forward, and not just because they read the linemen. So when as soon as one of those linemen goes stand up to pass block, then they aren't coming forward. They're dropping, and then they're all way back there. But there's check downs. There's other routes you can go. Little soft screens out there. Their corners weren't too firm. And I'm not a big pick on all the play calls after the game guy, just because I know, having called them and watched a great one do it, no one's right every time. And you're not. I mean, Josh Heupel's way more right than most. Lane Kiffin is way more right than most. Those guys aren't 100%. You don't complete every ball you throw. You don't make the right call on every play. You try to get the best you can. I think it's more frustrating for us that even with them back, you know, I would think that, you know, you're getting to 5-6 yards deep before the first guy can even get to you, and then he tackles you, and you move forward, and you gain 7 or 8 yards. I don't blame him for sitting there. When they go watch the film for that, they're going to be like, are you kidding me? Yeah, all these bad calls. Sure, all this stuff. Yes, they're baiting us. We have 6 blockers. They have 3 down linemen. We should get through that line without getting touched, and we didn't. And that's tough. I mean, that's tough, man. There's not a lot of, you know, coaches go through, and they don't ever share this with the players, but play callers on both sides of the ball, they watch the film in the game just like they're critiquing the quarterback and the starting receiver and the offensive guard. They do the exact same thing together as a staff for what they were doing. Otherwise, how do you learn from it? They break it all down just like they're the players with the play calls, and I guarantee in that one they'll be frustrated.
More of your phone calls coming up next as we return to Green Meadow Wine and Spirits in Alcoa on the Eric Ains Show. For -227.
Yeah, so now I'm 195 plus two. How many?
-227.
Oh yeah, no. See, I didn't make up for it in middle school or high school. So yeah, no, that's for sure a negative number on the career.
Let's talk to Craig on the Eric Ains Show. Good morning.
Hey guys, I really enjoyed the show, and the atmosphere Saturday night was great. And
agreed.
It's one of those, once the atmosphere gets that tight, if something goes wrong, people are going to do stupid stuff. And I'm glad everyone's not just blaming it on the student section. I sit in Section V, and I saw several water bottles end up in the Tennessee bench. They were either way in front of me, or there was one mighty impressive throw that I think came from the Tennessee terrace that ended up all the way out on the numbers. But after several of them hit the bench, I could see GAs or assistant coaches or whatever down there waving their arms. And finally, at least the west sideline quit throwing stuff into our bench. But to say that didn't happen is not, you know, that happened.
Yeah, it was absolutely not just the student section. I mentioned that earlier. It was all over the stadium, and it's just as unacceptable coming from high-dollar seats as it is from the student section. And WVLT this morning, Craig, has reported that there have been multiple arrests already. As of right now, 18 people have been arrested. 47 people were removed from the game on Saturday. And as they review video, they are putting other people under arrest for their roles in what happened on Saturday night.
Good. Listen, are you going to go to jail forever? No. Are you going to have some fines to pay and maybe
something? You're going to have to
something?
Answer for what you did.
Yeah,
yes.
Like, absolutely, and you should. I mean, that's – if you let people rush the field when you win and there's no school financial impact, then they would do it way more often. You know, that's not something they advocate for. If you are someone who acts crazy and gets in a fight, even if you didn't start the fight, if you're in a fight on camera at a venue, more often than not, they just don't let you come back. Mm-hmm. You could have been going there since you were 10 years old and be 30 years old, and then you don't get to go ever again. So, like, that's why, to me, I don't get it. I never have, never will. I've had stuff thrown at me and awful things said, and it never hurt my feelings. So I'm sure that no one cares, but it's embarrassing.
My only other comment really about
– Yeah, go ahead, Craig.
My only other comment about the game is I've seen hundreds of high school games. I've seen hundreds of college games. I've watched high school games where people, I think, flopped. The referee, basically, when they stopped time, They didn't allow the players to go to the bench. They didn't allow the coach to come in. They didn't allow substitutions. And I even saw them wave off the people with the water bottles. They said, we're stopping the game to get the injured player off the field and replacement on. Other than that, nothing else is happening. What I watched Saturday night was I remember seeing a cornerback go down. The first three people onto the field was the replacement defensive line for Ole Miss.
Every time. Every time. There's the gentleman next to us that pointed that out. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's the way I understand the referees work for the conference, but they basically get paid by the schools. So they have to do what the schools want. But right now the way the game's played is if you call a timeout due to TV, it's been shortened to 30 seconds. If you have a player lay down, you can have a five-minute conference with your defensive staff and your defensive team and correct your alignments or change your alignments to counter what the offense is doing.
Well, and they're not really supposed to do that.
But they do.
They're supposed to stay on the field, and no coaches are supposed to be allowed. You're not supposed to be able to talk to them. And if you are, it's at a distance where it would be really obvious that you're screaming at them what to do. I don't know that the officials would even do anything about it, though, with as easy and lackadaisical as they are with everything else. I wouldn't have confidence that they would stop it anyway.
Well, I mean, I watched the replay. I saw several coaches. Yeah, the players left the field or they got to the numbers and the coaches came out and they did everything short of bringing out 5 by 8 foot blackboards and drawing diagrams was sort of my opinion of what happened Saturday night.
Yeah, Greg, it's something that has to be addressed. And tomorrow on the show, we're gonna dive into what has to happen in those situations to stop this. Because, frankly, it's going to happen in Tennessee for the rest of the year because there's not a good rule against it right now, and other teams are seeing it. And that's going to be something that they're going to have to address. But we appreciate it. Let's go next to Bonnie. Bonnie, you're on the Hurricane Show. Good morning.
Hey guys, thanks so much for taking my call. My husband and I are actually on our way home from Knoxville to the great state and the free state of Florida. I just have a question about our injuries. It seems like there have been times in our past when we did not have a lot of injuries, and now we're having a lot of injuries. And my question is it a weight room issue? Do we need a class on how to fall when you're about to get hit by a Mack truck? Or What do you see as the reason we seem to be suffering from so many injuries?
I don't think a lot of it. There have been times at Tennessee and across the football in its entire landscape where there are for sure missteps with the strength and conditioning program. I've seen it everywhere. You want to get them real big and strong, and then you don't do anything for flexibility like yoga or stretching or any of that, and then they get big muscles, and then they get hurt even faster. So I don't think that's what's going on, though. I think that most teams who have their starters like we do, they do not play as many snaps as our guys do. They have better depth, and all depth is, it's not for when Cade Mays gets his leg hurt. It's for when he needs a quick break or a defensive lineman needs a play or two off to get him out there. I mean, to the point where even Ole Miss, who's trying to slow the game down so we have to stop and huddle and all that, they still got to take a guy out, bring a new guy in, and he gets a couple plays, gets his air back, and goes out there. We don't have the depth to do that as much, and so our guys, it's just how it is. When you get really tired or physically drained, naturally you get injured more. I think that's the biggest thing that would fix that for us, because I don't think it's a strength problem. I think it's the guys just get overdone.
They're playing 25 to 35% more snaps than players on other teams.
And it's hard enough to play that many regardless, let alone how many our guys are playing. So that's what I would guess. I don't know the exact answer, though, Bonnie.
Yep, Bonnie, we appreciate it. I don't see the hallmarks of strength and conditioning problem injuries that you typically see when that is an issue. I see, as you said, I mean, sprained ankles are not a strength and conditioning issue.
No. Heck, watching the Cleveland Browns play yesterday, their starting running back was – the play was over, and he was kind of backpedaling, and then Sniper got him, like his calf or his Achilles or something. He was, like, injured, and they had to take him off the field. Non-contact, just kind of backpedaling, boom. Like, that kind of stuff is hard.
Yeah.
The concussions rarely come from big, giant head-to-head contact – it's a shoulder and the ribs, and then their hat, their head hits the ground. It's not anything anyone's doing specifically.
One shoulder injury like what Jabari Small has is not a strength and conditioning problem. Six or seven like Tennessee had, and I believe it was 2011.
Something like that. It was a lot.
Was. And so yeah. when you see the same things happen over and over, that's when you start to have a concern. We're not there, at least at this point. I'm not seeing those hallmarks. I think it's just, like, well, you said, a lot of overuse.
The thing, if you weren't, like, if Heupel didn't play the way he did, and guess what? Ole Miss played really fast too. Mm-hmm. So what, in a normal game, you might play 60, 70, 70 snaps. I don't know how many we had in there. I'll bet it's a lot more than that.
Tennessee only ran 79 plays, but Ole Miss ran 101.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're the our defense that doesn't have a lot of quality subs.
Alabama will probably run between 55 and 65 yeah. plays next yeah. week. So Tennessee's defense this past Saturday played an entire
They only gave up 31
games.
Points and 111 snaps. That is impressive. Listen, we're not a moral victory, but, like, you wonder why the guys start getting hurt. All that kind of stuff. That's it.
Why did you hold Ole Miss to under its season average? Because there was despite deficiencies, it was a pretty good defensive
I'm proud of the guys, though. That's important to say. I'm very proud of them. They played very hard. They didn't play smart the whole game. They never fought, never quit. They were all
banged
up.
After the delay, they didn't quit. They came out and got a three and out and then went down and were a fingertip away from winning the football game. Welcome back. More of your phone calls are coming up next on the Eric Haines Show, coming to you live from Green Meadow Wine and Spirits in Alcoa. We have more next.
The great thing about sports is it never stops. Here's another 60-second sports minute on the Sports Animal.
NFL football scores yesterday. The Packers took down the Bears 24-14. The Colts beat up on the Texans 31-3. Cardinals hammered the Browns 37-14. The Cowboys took down the Patriots in overtime 35-29. And the Steelers got by the Seahawks 23-20 in OT. VFL Darrell Taylor carted off the field. Pete Carroll told the media after the game that the initial CT scan was clear and he has movement and feeling in all of his extremities. In college football, Ed Orgeron will not return to be LSU's head coach next season. He will remain on the sideline for the rest of the season, and LSU will pay him the remaining $16.9 million left on his contract. Other SEC teams, AP Top 25, number one Georgia, number two Cincinnati, number three Oklahoma, number four Alabama, number five Ohio State. Other SEC teams inside the poll, Ole Miss at 12, Kentucky at 15, Texas A&M at 17, and Auburn at 19. Have a good
Went through and took a look at that last night. Let's go to the phones at 656-9900. Doug is up next. Doug, welcome to the Eric Haines Show.
Good morning, guys. Great game on Saturday. A wonderful football game to watch.
No, hey, Dad.
Hey, what's up?
I was curious, and then I heard you talk.
Yeah, well, I'm up early. I've got a lot to do today. I got up at 8. So I'm up early. The game was so great, you know, and then our kid goes down, Hooker goes down, and Milton comes in, first play, throws it in the end zone, just missed, little hot, little high, normal for his first throw in under those situations. Nealon was rocking, and then looked like Portland for a minute, or the January 6th.
Not good.
But anyway, Nealon was rocking, though. Legit, like old school days.
Yeah, anyway, you could tell from the TV for sure.
Last play, I don't care. I mean, from high school, let's say sixth grade, but let's say for sure a high school quarterback knows with 3 seconds to go, the ball's got to go in the end zone. I don't care if it's triple teamed. I saw Mayfield throw one yesterday where a guy was triple teamed, and he threw it 80 yards or 70
Came
yards.
Down with it.
No, he had the ball on the 20-yard line. There's no excuse that the ball didn't go in the end zone. So that's got to be something that's I don't understand how come that young man didn't do that. He's a vet, right? Isn't he a 4-year vet or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the hard part about the whole thing to me is – well, if it's a stoppage of like if you're going through it and you don't have any timeouts and you catch it, you want to go out of bounds, and then they tackle you just in, they're running the clock as soon as they set the ball, you can't spike it, it's fourth down, you have no time to talk about it or get a reminder or anything. I could understand like a young college player not getting it in that moment, even then I'd be furious. But it was the stop. The play was stopped. He had plenty of time, and I guarantee he got reminders, and he
this
still
is the
did
last
that.
Play of the game.
That like that's what like everyone should know that. Like Dad said, from middle school to high school, college, you should know that it was a stopped clock, and he still went and did that. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
I know the guy who was. I just watched the replay again, and the man who was calling the game, not the color guy, but the man who was calling the game, go, well, at least they got two shots of the end zone now with 11 seconds. He said they got two shots of the end zone.
Yeah.
I mean, even the guy who hadn't played football knows we got two shots of the end zone. We got one.
Yeah,
and he almost got it. But then what about just lobbing it up, like rolling left and then guys triple teamed? Who cares? Lob, just like shoot it up there almost.
Yeah.
Give him a chance.
Yep.
Give him a chance to go rebound it, you know?
And here's the other thing that makes it bad.
So guys, Doug, we appreciate
Yeah, thanks, Dad. Love
thanks
you.
Thanks for weighing in.
So, like, in practice, situational football of every kind, what do we do on four-minute drill? Ball's more important than the yards. Don't go out of bounds. Two hands on the football. Red zone. It everything picks up pace. It's touchdown, check down. No time to go through four reads. We're going to call it right, get it set, or take it off. Or
all of that was off the table for this one because this is the last play of the game. The last play of the game.
And my point is all of them are practiced. I remember, and if they're not, then I'd be frustrated with Josh Heupel. 40, 30 yards and in, 40 and in, 50. We used to do it. It was like a before practice kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But our arms would be loose, and we'd go over there with the kickers messing around with one of the Colquitts kicking it in the river from practice, and everyone else would go over here, and we'd go do it, scramble around. You had the other quarterbacks would come and try to get you, make a move, get out there. From the 40, the ball feels like that. From the 50, it feels like that. From the other 40, it feels like that. And I could make those throws, so you have to practice all that stuff. Otherwise, you get excited. You're Joe Milton, who already overthrows guys. If he never practices it in practice, he's throwing the fourth down play through the uprights.
Let's go to Tony next. Tony, you're on the Eric Haines Show.
How y'all doing? How y'all doing?
Good, man.
I got a question, and I hang up and listen to y'all comment. Now, I know this didn't happen in the Texas A&M and Alabama game, but what I've noticed about when an unranked team is maybe close to upsetting a ranked team, like you take the Ole Miss, Alabama, and Georgia in the SEC, and it used to happen a lot in basketball in the NCAA with the Blue Bloods. When they are close to getting upset by an unranked team, how much does money play a big role with not so much the basketball as the football? How much does money play a big role with this playoff and stuff at hand? Because I notice a lot of times when, with the exception of the Texas A&M and Alabama game, if Georgia, Alabama, or another real ranked team is getting real close to being upset, it seems like that the referees make lots of bad calls. And my example, like I said, was in the past years ago when they would do that with the Blue Bloods in basketball, but so many other teams is caught up with them now that I don't see it as much. And I'm just going to hang up and listen and see what y'all got to say. Thanks for taking my call.
Eric, I don't think it's implicit, and Tony, we appreciate it. I don't think it's explicit bias, but I think there's a little bit that rolls into a team trying to pull an upset has to be perfect. And when you give them a reason to throw the flag, they do it. And they may not be doing it consciously. Some people would see that differently, I understand. But you may not be doing it consciously, but I think they're looking for making sure that you're doing it perfect.
But you've heard me tell Tom Ritter story a million times since we've started doing this.
Yeah.
Like, they're human, too.
Yeah.
So if Heupel's on one, if Kiffin's over there, have you ever known, Kiffin never really yells at him.
No.
He gets up, like, gets right up next to him, and he's, like, you know, talking with his hands and, like, come on. Like, you can tell he's, like, talking. Heupel's not a big yeller either.
No, he's not.
So, because that's one thing you always look at. Is there one staff that is just wearing them out? If so, if the other staff has more clout than they do, like Butch,
his,
you used to have Butch all the time.
His calm demeanor helps him with his team. I don't know that it helps him with the officials, but I also don't want him to change who he is to yell at the officials.
No, and I feel like so when that happens, though, the frustrating part about that is knowing that the referees are human, like makeup calls in basketball. You don't see it in football often, but they know when they screwed it up in basketball. The next time someone touches them, they call a foul. It's part of the game. You don't want it to be, but it is a part of the basketball game. With football, if you make a bad call and it stands and you know it was a bad call, mm-hmm. that absolutely plays into your decision-making process, whether it's a hold or not, whether it's any of that gray stuff. The makeup calls happen like that, and that's unfair because then you end up throwing a flag on a guy and he's going, what? I didn't hold him. We got a phantom holding call in that game that was terrible. There was nobody anywhere near where they threw the flag and said it was holding. And I wonder if that's not from a play two plays before. I just don't like – I hate that part of it. But they're a part of the game. You know, I hope Heupel can be – you know, like if Josh Heupel is going against Lane Kiffin, Lane Kiffin at this point, from a clout standpoint, carries a little more weight than yeah. Kiffin does. Alabama, Nick Saban can say whatever he wants to guys, and they'll take it, and they'll probably do what he's telling them to do. It happens with the best athletes. It happens with the best coaches. It just is what it is. If you don't want those calls to go against you, then you need to be the studs.
Right.
You got to be. I mean, it's kind of like I was saying with Bailey. Like, if you're a total baller, then the system fits you. They don't make you square peg, round hole. Like, if you're that good, they just do what you can handle. They've right. started doing that with Hooker lately. Really opening it up and doing some fun stuff with him, and now he's hurt. But it's important to remember the game is officiated by humans. And there's bias, whether it's unintentional or not. It happens. And when it happens to you, it sucks.
That it does.
There's nothing you can do or say about it. It sucks.
All right, we'll go back. We'll find out what we learned today. And we'll get you set for the rest of your sports day next on the Eric Ainge Show.
Well, it's time to find out what we learned today here on the Eric Ainge Show. That 3 hours goes fast when people are mad about officials and throwing bottles and stuff.
Yep.
That goes pretty quick. Again, every day we find out what we learn thanks to Gambusa's Barbershop, two locations right there in the
Downtown West
Shopping Center and right on North Shore Drive, obviously. Gambusa'sBarbershop.com. They can get you over there. You can go online, just book your appointment. Doesn't matter who you get. A lot of people have their person after they go there, but I don't. I go let any of them cut my hair because they all do a fantastic job.
Logan, what did you learn today?
I think that it's unfortunate that the conversation from this game and what's going to be remembered is the actions of very, very few fans. And I get that not everyone threw a ball, but the ones who did made a lot of the fan base look bad. And I get that. It's sad, but I think it's also sad that that's going to be the only thing remembered from this game, because Tennessee almost still won that game after all that stuff happening and officiating. So I just think it's sad that what's going to be remembered is the actions of a few hundred.
Yeah, man, that's why I stand up for the 99.5% of Tennessee fans that not only weren't involved in that, but also are embarrassed by it. You can't have that. But I will stand up for everybody else who wears orange who is unfairly lumped in by some of the national media with that. And I am not in favor of giving those people that lump our fans together like that into any platform to talk about their
opinions. You know one thing about our fans, all fans at this point in time, mm-hmm. the GIF fake quote stuff that people do, it's hysterical. This one hurt a little bit. It's a picture of Joe Milton. Mm-hmm. And, of course, came after him running out of bounds. Mm-hmm. And it says, quote, y'all told everyone to quit throwing stuff, end quote.
Oh, no.
Joe Milton.
Oh, no.
No, we're not throwing anything. We're just going to run out of bounds and no more water bottles. That was funny. I mean, that was funny.
I learned that tomorrow on the show we're going to have to talk about who the quarterback is going to be on Saturday and what's going to happen there. Because if Hendon Hooker is injured, and it seems that he is.
I'm not anticipating that Hooker's going to be able to play.
With how that looked after him on the sideline and after the game, I am not anticipating he's playing.
I got one question for you, though.
Okay.
Do you think it matters?
Oh, against Alabama? I mean, you're going to go down there. They're going to go down there and take swings. Okay? Here's counterpoint. Joe Milton's your quarterback. Call four verts every play and see if he hits one.
Chuck it down there. I mean, yeah, you can't do that.
You're
going to
take
play,
they are going to go down there and they're going to take some swings. Here's what we've seen, and we're going to talk about this more tomorrow because this is my biggest takeaway from the game. The other thing that was lost in this is once again against a top 25 team with more depth, more top-to-bottom talent, with a number next to their name. Josh Heupel schemed it up to be a one-score ball game with a chance to win on the last play of the game. I mean, Eric, what more do you want? What more can you ask for the situation
Tennessee's in? You can. That's why we had a caller earlier who said, if you'd have said it's down to a couple plays at the very end of the fourth quarter, one-score game, we all would have taken it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all would have. And it's hard, you know, we're sitting here. I had a hard time giving the defense credit. So here's why. They score 31 points. That's it. We give up only 31 points, which means that's a lot of third downs. You got them off the field. That's some fourth downs that you got them off the field. You created a little havoc back there, but their quarterback had almost 200 yards rushing.
They were 11 of 21 on third down.
That's a win.
They were, though, 2 of 3 on fourth down, but fair. 11 of 21 on third down. You held almost 510 total yards. That doesn't sound good, but – and it's not good by pretty much any measure. It is under their average.
But it shows me that once again the defense is going to bend a little. They try not to break. They're going to create a turnover or two. You know, hopefully they're not getting a lot of penalties, but they're going to give up some big plays. But Ole Miss had opportunities for 5 more of them. Corral had pressure. He missed them. You know what I mean? Like, I feel good, not about this weekend, but about our defensive progress. Mm-hmm. That's going to be huge, because if we're playing Milton or Bailey and we got to try to beat Kentucky, whoever they put out there is going to have to play a very good game. Kentucky's the 15th ranked team in the country, mm-hmm. and we're over halfway through the year. It's not a fluke. They are good. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe they're not the 15th best team, but the way the rankings work, you can't justify putting them any lower than that. So, I mean, they are a good team. It's kind of like Ole Miss, 13th best team in the country. I think they're actually better than that. I think that team's really, really good. And if they play good on defense, long story short, we have our work cut out for us. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is this next week. You're not going to beat Alabama. But if they play good, you might be able to hold Bama to 30, 35. You just did it to Ole Miss, and they're better than Alabama on offense.
They're going to take some shots and see what happens. Josh Heupel, yep. What we've seen all year is not going to – they're going to come up with a game plan to go down there and win. And they may not win, but they are going to give it everything they've got. And his time at Tennessee and his coaching career shows that more often than not, he is able to scheme up enough to keep you in a one-score. Well, I mean, frankly, outside of 2 bowl games and the Florida game, his entire coaching career, he has literally schemed it up to be a one-score game at the end of the game or better, or a win. So those are positive things to take from it. They're not moral victories because you didn't win on Saturday. Fan base, unfortunately, took a loss as well.
Yeah.
And the fan base took a loss because, just like a football team, Eric, if one person on a football team does something boneheaded, then the entire football team can take an L for it.
Exactly.
Very small percentage of Tennessee fans did something boneheaded on Saturday night, and now the entire fan base is had to take it on.
Just don't do it again. Everyone will forget about it. Every fan base in the world has thrown stuff at some point in time.
We just have to be better going forward.
When it's on national TV and like that, it's a little worse.
Big thanks to Green Meadow Wine and Spirits for having us out today. One-stop shopping for tailgating and your home tailgating parties, like the one you'll have this weekend. They can help you out. They are the experts here in Hunter's Crossing in Alcoa. Great location. Great to have us here, and we appreciate that. From Eric and Earl and everybody out
everybody.
Here. We appreciate it. Tomorrow we'll be at Star Power Sports on Kingston Pike. Looking forward to that.
Ooh, nice. Go drive some stuff around.
Might have some fun out there.
Hey-o.
Logan, thank you. Jay Lyford, thank you. We'll see you tomorrow on the Eric Haines Show.